Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom old. In episode 7, we remain in uncharted for me territory and venture into the volleyball anime manga Haikyuu. To repeat what turned out to be the catchphrase of my interview partner, honey, Kyuhaba is good, by which they mean the ship of Kyotani Kentaro and Yahaba Shigeru. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk / Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fan works might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, / meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast, in addition to the Ko-fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding, and gifing, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song...
Spoilers?
With Honey, I have another enthusiastic interview partner who I get to quiz about the Kyuhaba ship and why it means so much to them. We also detour a little and talk about the positive space that fandom is for us and the boundless creativity found there. Examples for this can be found in some of the fanworks Honey recommends and sells with an enthusiasm I've rarely encountered, and which I think you'll find as endearing as I did. But listen for yourself. I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea. Hi Honey, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Well, I'm sorry in advance if I sound a little bit stuffy-nosed still. I had a cold, but otherwise I'm I'm all right.
Honestly, you're perfectly fine. I'm getting over like a cold as well, so like I might cough or like sneeze a little bit. So yikes.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah. Also, I have a tendency to talk a little bit too fast, so like tell me to slow down if you need to. Like, not that big of a deal.
Oh, I've got the same tendency. We just have to make an effort so that people can actually understand us.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. So thanks so much for joining me and being be willing to talk to me about Haikyuu.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's another fandom that I know nothing about except what Mel told me last week.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago. So so yeah, I'm all willing to be schooled.
Yeah, so Haikyuu is basically like the volleyball anime, I lovingly call it. It's mainly about this person, I guess. Like, the main character's name is Hinata, and so it's his goal to become like the greatest volleyball player, and he's inspired by something that he saw on TV when he was a kid, but he's just not that good of a player. And so, yeah, he's never really played volleyball on a team before coming to high school. So he gets on the volleyball team and he has to deal with like really troublesome, like players of his, and he has to learn how to like play with other people and also like do the best of his abilities a little bit. Yeah, so like the team and like the people that we'll be focusing on is kind of like a side quest, I guess, of the anime.
Okay.
So Hinata's team is called Karasuno, and the team that we're gonna be focusing on is Seijo or Ioba. I don't know how to say it the other way, but I just call it Seijo. We'll be focusing on Kyotani and Yahaba, which are kind of also side characters on the side quest. They're very obscure, but they're very good.
Okay. Well, sometimes that just happens, that you fall in love with not necessarily the main characters, but you zoom in onto one, like a minor character.
Exactly. They're very compelling, though, so I hope I make a good argument.
So is that something that happens to you a lot? Like, do you often ship like rare pairs and stuff?
Not too rare of pairs, I don't think. I just fell way too hard, way too fast for this pairing in particular. And it was mostly by accident. So, I mean, it all worked out. But yeah, it was just, they're all really good. And so, yeah.
Have you always been into anime?
I haven't always been into anime. I started like fandom stuff with, embarrassingly, like the DreamWorks movies, How to Train Your Dragon and The Rise of the Guardians.
Is that embarrassing?
Just a little bit, because I loved both those two movies and I didn't know that you can ship the two main characters, which are Hiccup and Jack Frost. And I randomly stumbled onto that on the internet. I guess it's kind of a rare pair, but not really. This was years ago.
I actually heard of that pairing. I haven't seen either of these movies, but yes, I have.
Yeah, the Hijack from Hijacked Honeybees, that's their ship name. That's how I kind of got it. So kind of my origin story, but yeah.
So you've been around for a while.
Just a little bit, yeah. A good while, I guess.
And you, just to, before we dive back into the fandom, so you're from the US, right?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I'm from California, born and raised. I'm actually from like Southern California. I'm from San Diego. But I'm studying.
Oh, nice.
I'm a university student, so I'm studying at Stanford right now. So yeah.
Oh, fancy.
Just a little bit.
It's, you know, I, not that I know much except for what, you know, what you learn on like TV.
Yeah.
About the American university system. But I've been to San Diego.
Oh,
I liked it.
Yay. I'm glad. San Diego's a cool place.
Oh, it's been a long time. It was after high school. So, yeah, it's been a while. You were nominated to be on this podcast by Mel.
Yeah.
How do you know her?
Well, actually, she was one of my... Okay, I was a really big fan of hers before, like, we started talking and everything, actually through Kyohaba. And so I was a really big fan of hers. Actually, one of the fics that I recommended for this pairing is by her, because it just stuck with me for such a long time, and it's such a good piece of storytelling that, like, it's incredible. But I knew of her for a while, and I was following her stuff, and then we started talking, and then we got together. So she's my girlfriend.
Yes, she told me that she wants to she's thinking of, like, moving out to be closer to where you are.
Yeah. California is, like, really expensive, so like, if it works out, then, like, I'll be ecstatic. But yeah,
because the US is just too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you met her through fandom. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you in other fandoms as well, or is these days is Kyohaba pretty much your go-to fandom?
Well, I'm also into Boku no Hero Academia a little bit, which you guys talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly into, like, sports animes and stuff, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I usually just, like,
Are there a lot of those around?
There's a little bit. There's, like, this a cross-country anime out now. There was an ice skating anime. There's several baseball animes. Like, one that's really close to my heart is Big Wind Up, which actually started my anime endeavors, which is very good. But there's other non-sports animes. they just have, like, the most, like, tension and, like, subtle contexts, so it's interesting to kind of, like, unpack them a little bit and see, like, what you can find, while other animes and other genres are kind of more explicit in where their relationships lie.
So there's a lot of context to unpack for this ship as well, I guess.
Yes, very, very much tension, and it's good. It's very good.
So who are these guys?
Okay, so there is Yohaba Shigeru. He is the kind of there's, like, the captain of the volleyball team. He's, like, next to be captain. He's, like, the next in line. So he's next in line to be captain. And there's Kyotani Kentaro, who is basically next in line to be ace, which is, like, the ace in volleyball, as I understand it from the anime, is the person who is kind of, like, the most powerful and the person who, like, scores the most points and works more closely with, like, the setters, who, like, basically set them up to score points. Anyone can score points in volleyball, but the ace is just very specialized, I guess.
Dimly remember high school volleyball.
Yeah, I don't know much about sports, but the thing about sports animes is that they are very easy to follow, and most of the times they explain things very well. I'm probably not doing a very good job of that. But once you, like, if you do start watching, it's very easy to follow, and you really understand the rules and what's going on, mostly because a lot of the characters have, like, internal monologues that are easy to follow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's, like, the very dramatic pauses and, like, slow modes of moments where, like, characters, like, really quickly think things out. Like, it's very informational, so it's good, it's good.
So also accessible for people who know nothing about sports.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if you know the sport, if you love the sport, you'll obviously love the anime. And even if you don't, like, it's very informational, it's very good, easy to follow, and you fall in love with the characters, so... It's a win-win.
So what made you fall in love with these two?
Oh, boy. A lot of it has to do with their personalities. Yahaba mm-hmm. is very much a stick to the rules type character, while Kyotani is kind of a wild card. His backstory is that one day he yelled at like one of his upperclassmen in the middle of practice, and everyone saw, and it was very disrespectful because you don't disrespect mm-hmm. your upperclassmen. And he hasn't come to volleyball practice since. And all of a sudden, one day, the captain of the team, Oikawa, he basically goads Kyotani to come back to practice. And Yahaba gets very upset at that, especially since he's kind of like a not a second string, because that's kind of mean, but he's like the substitute setter. So when Oikawa, he's like the setter and the captain. If he can't set, then Yahaba will go in and set for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kyotani, when he immediately comes back to the team, he immediately has a spot on the court. So he starts playing immediately. He doesn't have to wait. He doesn't have to continue practicing. Yeah. He's just on the first string of players. Mm-hmm. So that upsets Yahaba a little bit. So the tension is starting with them. So they're very snappy, very pushy. They argue a lot. The one part that is very, 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 very compelling in this shipping argument is kind of the scene that everyone in the Kyohaba fandom talks about, and that is one day in the middle of like a game, there's like people looking and everything. Kyotani kind of goes like all out. He doesn't really restrain himself like on the court, which causes him to mess up most of the plays during the game. And so he's eventually taken off the court and replaced by someone else until he can calm down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so Yahaba basically confronts him, but he does it in the most confrontational way possible, which is he grabs Kyotani by the collar and slams him up against the wall and yells at him.
Oh,
and
okay, yes.
Very, very much tension, very wow. But yeah, mm-hmm. so he pins him up against the wall and their faces are very close together and you get this shot.
The classic just kiss already.
Exactly.
Shot.
And there's a pan and like there's a shot of Kyotani's face and his eyes are wide and his mouth is kind of slack, like a jar, like kind of like shook. And so as Yahaba yells at him that like he shouldn't be like dragging their upperclassmen's like name in the mud, like he needs to get his act together. And so there's basically this break of his prim and proper attitude with Kyotani, because like he kind of brings out the worst in him, but that's also kind of his true nature, while Kyotani kind of like tries harder after that to play mm-hmm. better because Yahaba. So it's very interesting. So that's basically the one scene that is very much talked about, very much referenced.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good scene. It's very good. Yeah. Sorry.
No worries. I can see how that might start some serious shipping.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're into that, like these sorts of like antagonistic, very full of tension, kind of relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
And so there's, it's quite nice if they're like secondary characters and you still have like moments like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. I think Haikyuu is very much into their secondary characters. They
mm-hmm.
they don't really fall flat. They're very different characters and they kind of play to their own drum a little bit. So mm-hmm. Haikyuu is very good at giving their secondary characters personalities and giving them like their own kind of backstory-ish and why they play and how they play. So it's really good that like even the secondary characters get moments like this where you can feel that there's something going on like in certain relationships that might not have the holes filled completely, but it's great for fandom because we can fill in those holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does the story, is it mostly about like the like on the court, or do you also see like some of their private lives?
You see a bit of their private lives. The anime mostly follows Hinata, so the Karasuno characters, which are kind of like our main characters. We mm-hmm. see a little bit more of like their school life and what they do like in practice. Not so much private lives, but you do get a sense of like who they are, like what they do outside of sports or school. Mm-hmm. So you see a little bit into their lives, but we really don't get that much intimate with them. Mm-hmm. With the side characters, it's kind of left you high and dry a little bit.
I guess that's where fandom comes in,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. There are some instances where we do get a little bit. There's a panel of Yahaba kind of freaking out while he's in a bathtub, and he stands up, and a rubber ducky is conveniently covering certain parts. which has fueled fandom into believing that he collects rubber duckies, which is very good. And with Kyohaba specifically, there's a light novel, actually, where you see a little bit into their relationship and how they interact outside of volleyball or outside of school. Just like a brief over.
Sorry, what kind of novel?
Oh, it's a light novel. Basically, it's like a little bit of a spinoff. Basically, the artist who like does the manga and like mm-hmm. spearheads the anime, they do like little side stories. So this is called like a light novel.
Okay,
I think this is called.
I told you I know nothing.
Oh no, it's fine. But yeah, so this one was titled, I think, Mad Dog and the Puppy, because Kyotani's nickname is Mad Dog because his name is Kyotani Kentaro, so Kyo and Ken, which means Mad Dog in Japanese. So he ditches practice, I believe, and he finds a puppy abandoned in a lot. And Yahaba follows him, and they basically go on this quest to try to find a home for this puppy. And they get kind of attached to it, and they also see a little bit like into their attitudes and how like they treat each other mm-hmm. a little bit better. Yahaba asks Kyotani if like he has any puppy food, and Kyotani immediately answers, "Yeah, I'll pull some out of my ass." So they're very, very funny. They're very interactive. So that light novel is really good. I'll probably find it and link it to you because I totally forgot about it until
definitely.
Now.
that's weird. It sounds like a gold mine for shippers.
Exactly. It is. But like, it's so like, this is a while ago. Haikyuu is just kind of like ramping up a little bit more because like mm-hmm. season 4 was just announced. But there was a really long lull of kind of like not really that much like fandom interaction because there was just no new content. So this was a while ago, and most of the things that I have wrecked were a while ago. Mm-hmm. But it's something still really near and dear to my heart and a lot of people's hearts. And so, yeah, they're just like, no matter what, they're just so compelling to look into and like,
yeah,
it's good. I can't stress enough.
So I guess you're hoping in season 4, you'll see their relationship develop a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're really great characters. I'm not sure if they're going to get a highlight because mm-hmm. I don't think that's where this story is going in following the manga. But they're very good. And they will come back again because they are very important characters, mostly because they are the ones who succeed their upperclassmen because they are second years. Mm-hmm. With like Japanese high schools, they're 3 years, so first, second, and third. And so they're second years. And so when their upperclassmen graduate, they will take their roles as captain and ace. So they're very important. Okay. And if the manga continues, they will definitely have a bigger role. Mm-hmm. So they're very important in there. I just keep saying they're very good, and like they're so close to my heart. I love them so much.
So the manga's been going for a long time?
It's been going for a while. I don't know like the starting publishing dates or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's been going on for a while. The fandom has been kind of pursued for a while. It's been years. So that's been pretty good. I think I've been, I think I've been writing for like this fandom for Kyohaba for several years. So about like 2, 3, something like that. Yeah, they're great characters to explore.
So the fandom is quite active despite them being like secondary characters.
Oh yeah. We're a pretty tight bunch, I believe. Mm-hmm. It is fairly small. But we came out with like a fandom zine where a whole bunch of like just like a zine like specifically for Kyohaba. Mm-hmm. It's free. I'll put a link to that as well, but it was just like a bunch of us, artists and writers. We just came together and we were like, we love these characters and we're just going to create a zine to like build hype for these characters. So,
oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was great. Like everybody is so incredibly talented and it's just, it was a great experience. So, there's a lot of content there. So yeah, it's good. We're a close-knit bunch, but we're very nice, and we're all just really supportive, and it's good.
So is that mostly on Tumblr, or where do you guys hang out?
Yeah, mostly Tumblr. Archive of Our Own is also like where it's at a little bit. You can't really talk all that much. There's a couple Discord servers. Yeah, I just like started being active on Twitter, so I don't really know the whole Kyohaba scene there. but I'm pretty sure that there's some activity going on. So
yeah,
we're all kind of scattered about, but like you'll find us eventually. It's we're not too small.
Oh, that's really cool. And is it like mostly canon based things, like filling in all those gaps? Or what type of content do you create most?
Yeah, I'm mostly into the fantasy scene, just because like that's where my curiosities go most of the time.
That means?
Wait, what?
Like fantasies?
Yeah, fantasy. So
like youth?
I don't know. I've written a bunch about like. I've written like a medieval AU, and I've written one where Kyotani has like moving tattoos that like base off his mood. And there, but most of the time, like the fandom itself is very much rooted into canon, just because there's so much that we don't know about these characters. So yeah, there's theories about like their family lives and like different siblings or how they interact with their parents and
so all of that is not known from canon.
Yeah, we don't really get a good glimpse about like their home lives or like where they come from and things like that. We do know that Seijo, as a school as a whole, is a private school and they have uniforms. So they would have to be rich enough to pay tuition and pay for the uniforms. So that's a little thing that we get. But yeah, we don't really get much of those nitty gritty details. So most of them is filling in the lines. Most of the fics that I wrecked were canon based, just because like they're so interesting to kind of dive into and see like where people take like their characters and where they come from and how they interact. And so it's really interesting. It's really good. I think there's a good mix between canon and AUs. But I'm not really sure. I'm probably not the best gauge at that. but yeah, there's definitely both. It's not more one more than the other, I suppose.
So is there like common themes that you see, like is there like in the group like that most fans write, that I don't know, that they have the same number of siblings, or like the thing with the rubber duckies?
The commonalities,
I don't know, it's just fascinating to me, like sometimes that just happens, that like like with the MCU where everyone after the first Avengers movie everyone just kind of agreed that, yes, they're going to move into Avengers Tower and everyone lives on their own floor. Like, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. I think the commonalities in Kyohaba specifically is that Kyotani has a little sibling, which is very good, a very good idea, mostly because, like, he's so rough on the outside, and I think a lot of people think that having a little sibling or taking care of someone younger than him doesn't, like, humanize him in a way, but kind of makes him more accessible to the other characters. And another commonality,
I guess he can reveal, like, a softer side.
Yeah, exactly. Sibling. And yeah, exactly. It's just it's such a good trope. but also another commonality is that something that I've seen most often is that Yahaba suffers from some kind of anxiety disorder, which is, like, kind of, like, not the happiest thing. But it's something that it could be very true to his character, because I didn't explain this enough like before, but Oikawa, the captain of their team, is very much one of, like, the best players. He has, like, a lot of talent, and he's just, like, a formidable opponent. And Yahaba stresses a little bit about, like, filling in his shoes and, like, living up to that legacy that he's kind of filling, mostly because he looks up to Oikawa a lot. So we see that, like, anxiety and feelings of, like, not being enough kind of like set into his character in fandom. And of course that enables Kyotani to be the one to kind of, like, snap him out of those thoughts or delusions a little bit, just because, like, he is very much a look at what's in front of you type person, and kind of like a no bullshit behavior type thing. So it both of them kind of blend into each other and kind of work their way out of their own problems together most of the times in fandom.
Cool. So you already mentioned like some of the things that that are common in fandom. Is it mostly fan fiction, or is there also, like, art and other visual?
Yeah, there's
fan work.
Yeah, there's a lot of art. There's a lot of GIF sets, especially with the wall scene. There's a very good one. I think I recommended a GIF that's basically of the wall scene, and there's a Tumblr text post that's kind of, like, superimposed onto the GIF, and it's Yahaba kind of Yahaba kind of, like, looking up at Kyotani, where he hasn't pushed against the wall, and the Tumblr post reads, "Don't look at my boner while we fight." it's very good. It's just kind of those, like, lighthearted jabs, and kind of very, it's very funny. It's a very good chip. I feel like I'm selling it. I'm not, like, selling it enough, because they're, like, they're so good. I just, like,
yeah, I can tell you're, like, completely enamored with them.
They're so important to me. Like, I just, like, I would sing it on a mountaintop if I had a mountain and if I had a loud enough voice.
I guess because you only see, like, bits and pieces in canon, where does their relationship change? Does it develop? Or is that mostly all fandom?
It does develop over time. We get snippets of Seijo, and especially, like, through Karasuno's eyes, because they're watching them evolve, because they're becoming very formidable contenders in the high school volleyball scene. And there's this one moment where they're kind of, like, talking tactics a little bit within their own kind of group, and Yahaba becomes, like, super self-aware that Kyotani is looking at him. He kind of feels the need to justify himself and what he's saying about Karasuno, because he's kind of, like, complimenting their team a little bit. So it's just that snip of, like, them being, like, well aware of each other, and knowing that, like, both of them are in the room and kind of, like, judging, like, it basically, that scene was Yahaba being like self-aware and knowing that Kyotani was staring at him and wanted to say something without Kyotani even like saying anything at first. There's a little bit of development. There's also not exactly fan works, but like from the artist, from the mangaka, where they have like little snippets of Seijo, because they are like a very popular team. They have like little scenes like of them at a restaurant, or them in the wintertime going to a shrine, which is part of Japanese culture during New Year's. And like there was one where Yahaba was grabbing like Kyotani's shoulder, like trying to like bring him back into the group, and like keeping him like there, like in like their team like setting, where like it's very clear that Kyotani wants to leave. So like that manhandling, that closeness, like the Yahaba knowing that he doesn't really like these settings and like bringing him into it anyways. So we get a little bit of development, a little bit of kind of where they stand after the wall thing, after like after everything.
So there's there's definitely a relationship there.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Is there anything else that you think that we should know about them?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's the brunt of their relationship, in canon anyways. But yeah, they complement each other so much. I don't know if I've reiterated that enough. But they very much are two sides of the same coin. I can definitely see them supporting each other in a way both of them need to in the future. Yeah, I think that's them in the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. And you, so you follow like the manga and the anime and those little light novels and everything.
Yeah, I follow most of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always a bit confused, you know, like do like the manga and the anime, do they like tell the same story or different stories? I'm never quite clear on that.
Yeah, it usually depends. Usually mangas come first. And then with their growing fandoms, their growing, readership comes, anime. So most of the time in most animes, the anime follows the manga very closely, either until they catch up with the present day manga. And from there they either branch off or they wait. Haikyuu is very close to the manga, I believe. I haven't actually read it, but from what I've heard, it very much sticks with the action and where, like, the trajectory on which the manga is going. We don't really get much branching off, but just, like, seeing it animated is so important because the manga can only give you so much when it comes to motion, especially with the physicality of a sport. I think they follow very closely together. Most animes, that's probably not the case. But with IQ, I believe it is. Yeah.
And that's why you know that in season 4, there might not be very much with the, content for your ship.
Yeah. It follows very closely. We kind of see like, per episode or per season, how many chapters like it is covered in the manga, and from there we can kind of extrapolate where the next scene is, the next season is going to go. So I believe it's not. Excuse me. I believe like we're not going to get a lot of Seijo content or Kyohaba content. I think it's mostly going to be focusing on other teams and other dynamics. But yeah, like that's how like we can kind of see like where it probably will be going.
So you will definitely need to be, create more fan works then.
Yes, definitely.
What would we do without those?
We would sit there and hoping that the artists will hear our very, very, very weak pleas to make things canon.
Yeah, and this way we have way more freedom.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of, and I think like the most salient thing about fandoms is that like, especially with like LGBT shipping, there's a lot of things that media just won't let us do yet. Because of pushback, because of like what would other people think. So I think fandom is very liberating in that sense where we can explore these characters' dynamics and how they get together and like how they fall in love and all that mushy-gushy stuff. We can follow these characters without feeling the need to justify the space that they fill and why they're being focused on and instead focus on the characters.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about representation.
Yeah, really important.
Yeah.
Really, I just got into a little fight today with someone on the internet.
Oof.
Who was like, shippers are the lowest type of fan. And
excuse? Mine just... What?
Yeah. And, you know, fan, like with scare quotes and everything.
Oh, God.
And I was like... excuse me?
Like, I'm sorry. If you don't look at a piece of media and see the undertones that the writer has obviously not realized is there, then, like, there's something wrong with you. Because most of it is not subtle. Like, they're not...
Yeah.
It's not like we're looking at things that don't exist on screen. Mm-mm. It's very much... It's something that, like, either the writer doesn't know they put there or very much intentionally put there. They want the readers or the viewers to kind of figure it out for themselves. So, like, we're not crazy. We're not, like, being low because, like, we see this in media. Like, we just...
Yeah, and I guess it's only human that most of us, not everyone, of course, but most of us are interested in human relationships.
Exactly.
It's like... Yeah, we want to see, that's often what makes, I mean, I can enjoy a movie or a TV show, like, for the plot, but what gets me really invested, it's the characters.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, I mean, like, in this case, you know, you might enjoy the volleyball and all that action and stuff, but what made you really invest in the fandom? Are those characters.
Exactly. It's just like seeing them evolve and grow and being closer as a team and kind of realizing like who they are as a person and wanting to do better. And like, it's just like we very constantly search out human, like we see pieces of humanity everywhere. Like we make faces out of different shapes that we see. We see different social contexts, like social constructs in like all these different things. And it's like, we're really looking for development. We're looking for like people, not just like riveting story arcs or just like plot lines. Like we are looking for humans and we are looking for something very innately close to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just like what being in a fandom is just looking at the characters and going, there can be something more here. We just have to uncover it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the nice thing when you find people who see similar things and you can build on that, like on that foundation, like a community.
Yeah.
that's something that always,
Yeah.
I mean, you can ship all by yourself, but it's way more fun with others.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. What's fun about staying in a corner when you can kind of show your works and look at other people's works and kind of see how that can bring you together and kind of open discussions for other pathways and probably maybe like bigger important things. Like, I have made so many friends in so many different fandoms that I still talk to and I am still very close to this day, that it's like there's so much meaningful connection going on here. That's so much more than like,
I mean, you met your girlfriend, through fandom.
Like, that's true. I feel like I'm a special case, in that regard.
I don't know, like one of my very, very best friends, I met her on a Yahoo group in 2001. You know, and now we go on vacation every year.
Oh, gosh.
And we go to cons together. And it's like all built on the foundation of that one ship that we had.
Yeah.
That we shared. So, yeah. It's, I don't know, it's very real. It's not like, you know, just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like you're screaming into the void. Like, you're talking to actual people. Yeah. You're talking about things that matter to you and things that should be talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, and we use these characters. Like, you know, you take this moment against, you know, like pushing pushing each other against the wall. You take that, and out of that, you build. You know, you build something.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to see, you know, what other people see in that moment and how they develop the relationship from there on. That's fun.
Yeah. It's definitely something.
So, after this little detour.
Like, the good thing about Haikyuu and is that it's not very discourse-y. There's not really a lot of kind of arguments going on.
Yeah, you said that it's a bunch of nice people.
Yeah, we're all like very supportive. There could be like a little bit of like shipping dynamics that most people don't agree with, but I mean, it's not really a, oh my god, I can't believe that you're shipping these two characters, they would never do that. And it's more of a just like, okay, that's your tea, this is my tea, like we're gonna sit at the same table but not drink out of the same cup, you know, like it's kind of a
oh, that's a nice simile.
Thank you, I made that up myself. But yeah, it's just I would like to believe that we're not very discoursey or anything. So that's a good thing about Haikyuu is that like we're all in this together. So,
oh, that's really cool. And you already mentioned some of the like fan works that you like.
Yes.
So why don't we look at some of those?
Oh my gosh.
In the red corner.
Yes.
Okay, you've do you have some like favorite authors that you want people to know about?
I don't really like, I feel like really bad saying this because I'm a fic writer myself. I don't pay attention to a lot of specific people, as like as I just kind of like browse around and look for the titles that intrigue me, I guess. Shameless plug for my girlfriend, Mellow Writes is very good Kyohaba artist, both writing and art. She's incredible. I've read like most of the stuff that she's made with the Kyohaba fandom. So she's just generally amazing in every way, shape, and form. But yeah, I guess another writer I would say would be, I forgot the name. I think it's Night's Watch. Like night as in like shining knight in armor and like watch. They're very good. I can't really name some of their fics that off the top of my head. I'll definitely put some of their works in to the rec list, but they are very good with writing. They're amazing. Super good writing, super compelling stories. I just looked them up right now because I kind of need this in my life and I feel bad that I'm not talking about them enough. But yeah.
Well, I'm glad that this podcast reminds me of things you love.
I was trying to comb through like everything that I've compiled like over the years because I've been doing this for a while and I just like I couldn't get everything that I wanted. But yeah, it's just like oof. Yeah. I also tried to put more completed works in the rec list because I know the frustration of of finding a really good fanfic and just not having a conclusive ending to it or not being updated for a while. And because it is kind of an older fandom and an older ship, most of the times, most of the works that we see aren't finished are all like abandoned. I am not free of that sin, and I apologize.
I think all of us have at least one or two skeletons in the closet.
Yeah. One of the fics I'll probably recommend is Destroy the Middle, It's a Waste of Time by Night's Watch. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of one of the tropes with Kyohaba as well is internalized homophobia. I've read a lot about it, but basically they kind of like shove down their feelings and not want to admit it, either because of social pressure or families and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it definitely takes a while to have them get together in fics like that. But I think it's also very true to the characters and very true to their experiences and what I think would happen, mostly because like they are, they're not entirely emotionally stinted, but I feel like Kyotani would be the kind of person to not exactly be in touch with his emotions and not want to admit them all that much. And I think Yahaba would be a little bit more hesitant to embrace those kind of feelings, especially towards someone with the social stigma and stuff like that, because he is very much that character who cares what other people think about him and keeping up facades and everything, which is... Yes,
and they are teenage boys in the sports environment.
Even though they might not act like it, they are very much teenagers. They're very good. Also, I was going to say something about their voice actors, but Kyotani, the voice actor, is very talented. He's one of the youngest on like the Haikyuu cast. And if you hear him, his voice is very deep. They might not sound like it or look like it, but they're definitely teenagers. There's a lot of aged up fics as well, just because of like all that kind of like underage stuff going on. But it's also interesting to see, like, what would they do when they're older and how, like, their relationship evolves behind closed doors and you don't have access to that. Very interesting. So I guess the short end of the stick is that I don't really pay attention to authors all that much.
But you do have some favorites.
But I do.
That you want people to read.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. I guess, like, my hook... My hook fic, I would call it, is the one that hooked me, actually, which is called Close to the Chest.
Oh, you still remember
that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
cool.
There's a whole story behind this, and it's probably going to be another one of those wild detours. But, I was just scrolling through Tumblr, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I'd, like, just got into the Haikyuu fandom, and I found this art set, and I can also put it in the rec because I didn't put it because I didn't know if that would constitute a fic or an art, so I'll just put it there and see what you do with it. But it was kind of like this artwork detailing this scene from a fic called Close to the Chest by Dark Magical Girl, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't really remember these characters all that much from the anime. Even with like the wall pushing scene, it just like I didn't register it at first. And so I was like, you know, like this artwork is really interesting, like I want to see like where it goes. So I clicked the link and I started reading. Disclaimer, it's 10 chapters, it's 61,000 words, but it's a very good...
That's not a bad thing.
It's a very good fic. Like, just like I know some people are kind of put off by like different word counts and stuff like that, but this fic follows Yahaba and kind of his sexual awakening and coming into his own with his own sexuality, as he's like going into...
So you dove straight into the deep
I revved the engine, I went off the cliff, and then I didn't know I was falling until I hit the bottom. Because it really starts out with Yahaba and just like him realizing that he's probably gay. And him, like, going through the motions and then getting into high school and then meeting Kyotani. But, like, because the relationship is very turbulent, I can't English.
I'm the one who's not a native speaker.
English is hard, okay? Like, I'm saying that straight, like, out of the gate.
You don't have to tell
English
me.
Is hard. But, yeah, because the relationship is very rocky, neither of them kind of see each other as potential partners at first. And it's the story of them just kind of like going through the motions, becoming closer. But it takes a while to get there. So I didn't know what I had my head into at first. And so I was just like, I was like, oh, this Yahaba character. Okay. I can get with it. And I read this entire fic, not knowing who the heck these characters were. And
It was that good
because it encapsulated most of canon, which I love. I love fics that are kind of like the before canon, because it gives us so much context and it paints what we see in the anime into such a different light. And I really appreciate how like the author's work can kind of bleed into canon in that way. So it intrigues me. So yeah, we kind of like slowly get our feet wet with this kind of like Kyohaba content. Maybe it's not, maybe it is, we don't know. And then they end up getting together and it was just such a triumph. Because you're so invested into this fic, like you're so like invested with this character, especially Yahaba, since like he's like the point of view that we're stuck with. And it's amazing how we get from A to Z in such like a comprehensive way. So Close to the Chest is it's also a very popular fic in the fandom. Because it's just,
I can imagine, because now I want to read it.
it's a really good, compelling fic, and it's basically like if this was a debate, it would win. Because it's just so amazing, and so I credit this a lot with my Kyohaba awakening, I guess you could call it, because it's just it's so good, it's so compelling, and you very much start rooting for the characters and want them to get together and kind of like flesh out those emotions. So it's a very compelling fic. A lot of the fandom kind of credits it as like the best fanfic. I'm kind of backed up here with the credibility of this this fic. So yeah.
Like I said, now I want to read it because it sounds as if it's like almost like its own novel.
Yeah, definitely. It's long enough. It's very incredible. I can't stress that enough.
Great. I will absolutely check that one out.
Yay.
Yeah. And you also mentioned some of Mel's fic that you absolutely love.
So I read this without knowing her at first, so this is totally not biased, and I will say that for most of her stuff, just because we didn't talk for a while. This isn't me like being like, oh, check out my girlfriend's work because she's my girlfriend.
Oh, you don't have to. You seriously? I believe.
Yeah, like, I'm justifying myself to the listener because like I feel like I don't know, but like I'm not biased. I'm not just like putting a plug in because like
you love the fake before you loved
exactly
her.
Exactly. So this fic that I wrecked is called Illusion of Choice. And so basically, Melanie does such a good job at painting this world, and like the story building alone is so amazing and so great. Definitely worth the read. But it's a world.
Is it another epic?
It's actually a great deal longer. It's still in the works, but she does have plans to finish it. Just an insider because she talks to me a lot about it. It's very good. It will be finished. Right now it sits at 42 chapters and it's 212,000 words. It's a monster. It's a monster of a fic, and it is a great epic because it's such a great story, and the storytelling is very good. The story. Okay, so
what is it about?
So I have to collect my thoughts. Basically it's a world that is separated from wizards and what they call beasts. And the story goes that wizards can use magic, but there's a there's a hierarchy there as well, and there's a war between the wizards and the beasts because they both mm-hmm. feel like they're going to be destroying each other. So the wizards finally divine a way to take the free will from the beasts and kind of make them mindless slaves to the wizards. Mm-hmm. So the beasts that they do end up capturing become kind of like gifts and slaves to mm-hmm. the higher ranking people in the world. So we mostly follow the kingdom of Seijo, where Oikawa is king and Yahaba is his, basically his successor, and Oikawa is kind of teaching him everything he needs to know. But there's mm-hmm. mysteries about himself that Yahaba can't exactly overcome, especially with his magic, because he was sent on this mission and he doesn't remember what happens. And mm-hmm. it's this kind of mystery at first, putting all the pieces together and finding out where it's going to go. And as you read, I'm trying not to put any spoilers, but basically Kyotani is given to Yahaba as a kind of gift to be his slave. Mm-hmm. But Yahaba doesn't like that as much. He doesn't really, the idea of someone not having free choice kind of doesn't sit right with him. So he does his research mm-hmm. and he finds a way to free Kyotani from this mind control, basically. And that's where the story starts. We start with this person of nobility, and he's going on this like great mission. He's trekking out into the middle of the woods where no one can find him, and he's freeing his slave Kyotani from basically the kingdom's reign and terror. Where the story mm-hmm. goes is very compelling. It's very riveting. It's such a good fic. I'm trying not to spoil it. Mostly yeah. because like I am only about halfway through reading it myself. with like stories like these, like I've been reading this for such a long time, and every single time like I get back into it and want to read it again, I start from the beginning because it's just so amazing to relive it, and yes. so incredible to like pick up on like the little pieces that like you didn't really notice before. And so mm-hmm. I find myself kind of spiraling down that road, and with the school yeah. with school and everything, I just can never find time to finish what I started. but it's such a good story. There's so many mm-hmm. twists and turns. There's so much compelling dialogue and so much compelling prose that it's an amazing fic. It's a monster of a fic. If you definitely have free time and definitely want to fall head over heels with this kind of story, then this mm-hmm. is for you. This is exactly exactly what you should be into.
Isn't it every time I stumble across something like that, I'm like, isn't it amazing? Yes. You know, like, the time and the talent,
yeah, it's,
you know, and that all for free, and all exactly. because we fall in love with these exactly. characters. Exactly.
It's such a creative and fully encapsulated world that Melanie has also kind of been playing with the idea of kind of separating it from fandom and mm-hmm. making it into mm-hmm. her own world, and kind of like renaming the characters, yes. renaming the worlds mm-hmm. and kind of seeing on, we've talked about this, but she said that she has been like entertaining the idea of getting it published because it is just that mm-hmm. good. It is such an amazing world, and yeah. it is so separated from yeah. canon that it could very mm-hmm. well stand on its own as a novel, as a riveting epic.
Yeah, and you see that all the time.
Yeah,
that like there's so many talented authors in fandom, and you sometimes want to revisit an old favorite, and suddenly it's like, I'm sorry, I had to take this down because it got published.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, but that's not going to happen until she finishes it. So yeah, it's definitely worth your time. Definitely something that you should look into mm-hmm. because it is just so amazing on so many different levels. It breaks your heart. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It is just, it's such a good roller coaster to get on that you don't want to get off. It's amazing.
Yeah. And you haven't even put that as your absolute favorite, I noticed. Well, yeah,
it's an absolute favorite, but I feel like to get into it, like, I feel like it's better to say, mm-hmm. like, it's a hook fic because it is so mm-hmm. compelling and it is so, yeah. it's so detached from canon that you can read it without having watching the anime. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I feel like if you want to, because, like, the thing is that the world is so different, but the character interactions yeah. have been kept basically pristine.
Oh, yeah, that's always
it's awesome. So good. So yeah, just kind of like,
and you can still recognize the characters. Yes,
you can fall in love with the characters without having to fall in yeah. love with the anime. So it's a very good hook in that sense that you get to see where the characters are, even if they aren't in the setting that they were born in, you know? Mm-hmm. So I mm-hmm. felt it was better as a hook fic rather than one of my favorite fics, yes. Just because, like, it yes. is that good. It is amazing. And mm-hmm. it's definitely something that if you want to be hooked on this pairing, if you want to be hooked on this anime or even this fanfic mm-hmm. writer, because she is amazing in every sense of the word, you should definitely start mm-hmm. with this one because it's just okay. that good.
Great.
Yeah. I hope the spiel was enough because yeah. I think I spent more time describing this fic than I have with the characters, and I'm very sorry. I needed to do it justice.
It's very, yeah, I love your enthusiasm. It's awesome.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to move yeah. on a little.
Sorry.
Don't apologize. So what other figs do you love?
Sorry, I'm like dying a little bit over here, no big deal.
Don't worry. Oh no.
So two of the figs that I have recommended as one of like my favorite figs. is Mixed Signals.
Do you want to take it? Do you
oh,
want
no,
to
drink something? I'm good. I just have, like, a really weird cough, and it kind of, like, crops up on, like, weird times, and it's just, like, it's the life I'm living right now, and yeah.
yeah. Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, so the two that are listed as my favorite fics are Mixed Signals and mm-hmm. Truth About Truths. The Truth About Truths, I literally sat down, and I reread in its entirety. It's not that long. I read it in its entirety before I had to go to a class, and I was literally smiling like an idiot throughout the entire time, just because it is amazing. Yeah, it's just, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, basically, the premise is that Kiyotani and Yohaba are very close together, and they kind of aren't a thing. Mm-hmm. And Kiyotani doesn't want to admit that he likes him. And he's convinced that Yohaba is just kind of playing with him or pretending to like him. And it goes about that, hey, that's not the truth. And so mm-hmm. that's like the Truth About Truths.
So that one's canon based. Not
yeah, this movie. this one's kind of canon based. This is kind of like post canon from what mm-hmm. we've seen. Both of these yeah. favorite fics are canon based, just because mm-hmm. like I really like those kinds of interactions where you mm-hmm. kind of see what the underlying context of the anime is in that sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's Truth About Truths. Mixed Signals is also one of those feel goods. It's just so good, because the premise is that after everything that's happened in the anime, after the wall pushing, Yohaba and Kiyotani are best friends, and I think this takes place in their third mm-hmm. year, where they get very close, and Yohaba is always at Kiyotani's house, and his Kiyotani's mom treats him as one of the family. Kiyotani has two little sisters, I believe, and they're very close with Yohaba, and so they're very close-knit, and everyone kind of thinks that they started to date, but not really, and there's also this discovery mm-hmm. that Kiyotani, as well as his family, are very touchy, and very physical, mm-hmm. in a sense, And so it's kind of Yahaba realizing that, like, this is a place where he feels comfortable in. This is a kind of, it's kind of, I don't, it's very good. Because as he's realizing these bits and pieces of Kiyotani, he's actually falling in love with him. And because of that, and because, like, he's scared about this kind of, like, development, he doesn't really admit it to himself. It's kind of the opposite of the truth about truths. But this one's a lot more fluffy. So it's just kind of them, like, coming into their own and kind of, like, knowing, like, where they stand. And then it's a getting together fic, because that's kind of, like...
I love friends to lovers.
It's
that's
so
my jam.
Good. My bread and butter. Especially with Kiyohaba, because I don't know, it's just something so riveting about all the different ways that they could get together. Either it's like fake dating or friends to lovers or enemies to friends to lovers, because they are kind of at odds with each other at first. And so it's very much something about the development that is very compelling and something that is just so good to explore in canon. Most of my Kiyohaba works are actually getting together fixed because I find that most interesting. Eventually with Mixed Signals, they do get together, and the title actually is because Yahaba, because he likes Kiyotani, sends a bunch of mixed signals to Kiyotani about his feelings, and they can't really get it together until the very end.
Is it a nice slow burn?
A very nice simmer. It's not technically a slow burn because it's about 7,000-8,000 words, so it's not that long. But you definitely get into the thick of things very fast. You definitely get into the emotions and how they're feeling and how those emotions have, like, developed. And so it's a very good fic, a very compelling fic, and I love fluffiness. I love seeing Kiyotani in different contexts in which he is just an absolute butterball and an absolute goofball. And I like, I like the reversal of roles. I find that very interesting as well. So kind of putting people into different contexts, especially Kiyotani, because it's just amazing. So
I can imagine. Great. Awesome. So there's some really good fic to read then. You also mentioned that there's art.
Yes, there's so much art, and it's absolutely incredible. I don't know how to do justice to that through words.
We will definitely showcase some of that. Is it mostly anime style?
I believe it is. It is mostly anime. It is mostly different people's interpretations of the characters, because, like, with anime, it's very hard to emulate that specific style. So we get a lot of character interpretations. And the funny thing with Yahaba is that in the manga, he is depicted as having silver hair. And in the manga, in the anime, he is depicted as having kind of like a mousy brown kind of hair. It's very funny to see which artists pick which color and how, and what that says about the portrayal of Yahaba in that sense. I've seen some art where Yahaba is compared to foxes. In a sense, there are Arctic foxes that have, I don't know if this is how biology works, but, like, they kind of have, like, white pelts in the winter to, like, camouflage themselves, and then it turns brown in the fall. It's very interesting to see the connections. It's also funny because in art, it's very good. Because Kiyotani also has a very distinctive hairstyle. He has dyed his hair blonde, but he has two streaks of brown, which is his original hair color, from the tip of his ears all the way across to the back of his head. So it's a very distinct hairstyle. It's very distinct. There have been multiple fanfics, one that I actually wrecked, I believe, which is 1001 Roses, that have described him as a bumblebee. which fits his character because he's very snappy. He's very distinctive as well. I don't like the art style goes a long way, kind of how they're depicted goes a long way. Mm-hmm. All the art is amazing. There's so many I don't know how to give it justice, but yeah,
the easiest thing is that people would just
they'll just have to look for themselves. There's so much content. It's probably not that hard to find. It's so amazing. It's so good. It's good. It's good. Awesome. I can't say more than that.
that's like the summary.
It's
of
good.
This podcast.
Like just it's like good. this subtitle would be like the shipping cast. It's good. Like
it's good. Kyohaba, it's good.
I have unintentionally made a catchphrase. Oh no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't be sorry. It's adorable. See, that's why I'm doing this podcast, because I love, you know, hearing people squee about, you know, the characters and relationships they love. And
yeah,
I love it.
I'm glad you love it. It's very good.
And I hope other people enjoy it as well. So, talking other people, who will I be chatting with next?
Okay, so up next you'll be hearing from the Lord Grey on Tumblr. They are actually one of my classmates here at Stanford. And we actually took a fan fiction and literature class together, and that's where we first met. But they're super cool, super passionate, and super insightful about basically all things fan fiction. I respect them a lot. They're great. They'll be talking a bit about the Sherlock Holmes fandom. From what I heard, they were talking a little bit how they're in the fandom, but it's been a while, and how like that experience is going, and also shipping from that in and out experience. I hope everything goes well.
Wow, that sounds absolutely amazing. I can't wait. But so, just to wrap things up, if people want to find your fic or just you yourself, where
can
they
do that? So I am Hijacked Honeybees on Tumblr. That's Hijacked and Honeybees. I have this quirky little thing where the bees is three E's and a Z. That's my Tumblr, and on Archive of Our Own, you can find me at just Honeybees, capital H and capital B with three E's and a Z. I have lots of Kyohaba works. Definitely.
Cool.
You can also...
Yes, I will link
Thank
to that.
You. I'm also on Twitter, but I'm not incredibly active there. You can find me at honey_bees05. I have a quirky little banner of T-Rex yelling at a storm. I'm very, very on brand.
Cool.
I'll talk to you later soon. Thank you so much for having me for this podcast. I really appreciate it. It's such an honor.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It was so lovely to have you.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea.
This wraps up the 7th episode of the Shipping Podcast. And I don't think I've ever been as sold on a fanfic before. And hopefully you feel the same and can't wait to dive into the links provided in the show notes, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's spelled fandom, ISH.net. I'm also very excited for the next episode, because Sherlock Holmes was literally my first fictional crush, along with Mr. Spock, and I can't wait to talk with the Lord Grey about Holmes and Watson. You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a supporter on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics. And that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast and keep me going. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled S-H-I-R-A-S-A-D-E, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamworld, and on shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.